B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Matt.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's hour number two of Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings. Big Jim Murray holding down the fort at our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Maz and I on remote. Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. As promised, right back to your phones right off the top here. Kenny on the Cape on Major League Baseball and the minor leagues. Go ahead, Kenny.
Hey, what's up? So the MLB plan, they actually did this before the corona, but they plan to cut their minor leagues by a lot. And I've already seen some things, just, why is this a negative thing? It's going to stunt player development. But really, is it necessary to have all those leagues, to have all those levels? Does Joey really need to get his autograph from Bob Bagg, who flames out after his third summer with Mahoning Valley Strappers? Thanks, guys.
So I've spent zero time on this story, Maz, but the decoupling of the major leagues from the minor leagues, even before the pandemic. Do you have a thought you got to take from me on that?
Well, so no, look, I haven't spent a lot of time on it either. I haven't followed it all that closely, so I haven't gotten into all the machinations and the ramifications of it. I will say this, though. I think there's too much minor league baseball. I mean, there are a lot of players down there that really are no threat to make it to the major leagues, and I understand that, I don't want to sound like I'm pro-ownership in this thing, because the fact that they're not paying the guys that are in the minor leagues at $400 a week to me is disgraceful. They've always treated their minor leaguers like complete garbage, save for the guys who get the big bonuses when they're drafted. So, but I do think there is a lot of minor league baseball that's not necessary. They could consolidate some of those levels, maybe not leagues, but levels, a little bit.
There's no one else who does it. Hockey is the AHL and the ECHL. There's two levels in hockey. There's one level in basketball. There's none in football. And these, if I were a major league owner, I would be like, "What? Why are we carrying eight different teams and levels? Like, do we really need to do that?" I get it, Matt. Matt in New Hampshire, I think on this topic as well. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, so I'll be quick, but I tend to agree with you a lot in terms of the owners and the players, et cetera. But so I'm 21. For like the past couple of years, I've worked in a minor league clubhouse, and with a lot of guys who are actually in the major leagues right now, I think it's a shame that Blake Snell is being seen as the primary voice, because I can tell you, I don't think he represents the majority, and I know the superstars just tend to be out of touch, but I say don't hate baseball itself, hate the MLB, hate the nerds, you know what I'm saying? Because college baseball and minor league baseball are great products.
There's a lot to hate, and I'm sure baseball players are nice at some point in their lives, but when they become major leaguers, they all seem to turn into a-holes. And is that the union? Is that, what is that, Maz? But because those players, for a while, I think, have long been the least likable, I think.
Yeah, and a lot of times when they break into the big leagues, a lot of them are pretty normal. And then, as time goes on, a lot of them kind of deteriorate and end up being a-holes by the end of it. So I think it's the influence of the union. I think it's the influence of the money, certainly the attention that goes along with that sport. Because, again, you've made this point, and it's not wrong. It's really an individual sport. I mean, every confrontation, every matchup, there's nowhere to hide. When you make an error, we know who made the error. It's not like football where it's 11 guys working together and you're not sure who messed up until someone tells you who it is. So there's a great deal of accountability, but there's also a great deal of credit that goes with it. And I think a lot of guys are really insecure. And so when they get credit, they want credit for it. And then, it just snowballs and they get very, very entitled, particularly the great ones, the deeper they get.
It's like country clubs. My dear father, Rocky, likes to say, everyone at country clubs are a-holes, right? The question is, does it attract a-holes, or do you turn into an a-hole once you get there? You can't really tell if it just, you're an a-hole before you get there, and that's where you want to be with all the other a-holes, or you get there and you just turn into one because everyone else is. Maybe that's what it is in Major League Baseball.
Shelby, I mean, look, I covered a lot of guys who were good guys, and maybe it has something to do with the era and, certainly what they were pursuing, because it was a Red Sox team and clubhouse that hadn't won. So they really, a lot of them had to give stuff up in order to win. That's the whole point in any sport. You have to sacrifice part of yourself if you want to win. And in that sport, for whatever reason, it's really hard for guys to do.
Yeah, I think the big issue now is the union. It turns them. turns him bad. And this is notwithstanding David Price today, who made a great gesture by paying his minor league players, the Dodgers minor league players, I should say. Shelby and Woburn, though, on the Patriots quarterback. Go ahead, Shelby.
I do have to disagree with you about the Hoyer going to be great possibly with Belichick, because we had Bledsoe with Belichick for a year, and he was better than Hoyer, and they still were not good. They were mediocre, and it wasn't until Brady came in that they actually got good. So I don't know about the Hoyer thing. That's all.
So Shelby, are you outraged? Would you be outraged if I told you that Bledsoe in 1999-2000 is not that much better than Brian Hoyer? He's not. I thought Bledsoe sucked by then. I'm sorry, Shelby. That's just a long way of saying I don't think Bledsoe was much by the time we got to that. And I think he kind of proved it because he went to Buffalo and was still sort of that guy. He had a little blip. You know, he got a hair across his ass and got motivated. And I think like the first half of his first year in Buffalo, he might have been a little something. But I'm sorry. I was never a huge Bledsoe guy. But in his prime, he was, you know, certainly a top half of the league quarterback, top 10 quarterback in the league in his prime. But by the time we got to that part of his career, I'm sorry. I think Bill has just as much chance to win with Brian Hoyer as Drew Bledsoe at that stage of his career. Is that being too hard on Bledsoe?
No, I actually think that's a fair comp, because by 99, it's like, you're not going to win crap with this guy. Like, that was evident. I think with Stidham beating out Hoyer for the backup job last year, and I know that Gasper thinks that that was fake and it was gifted to him. I'm sorry, I don't. The kid's been in the system. He was on the sidelines last season. It feels like they've pumped him up, and maybe that's manufactured a little bit. But I just understand with all of that why they would go to a journeyman bum who has a losing record as a starter over Jarrett Stidham.
So, look, I mean, I thought Bledsoe started to go downhill, I thought, once Pete Carroll came here. The Patriots stopped protecting him, and he got the snot kicked out of him. By the end, he was a mess. And so, you know, look, the point you're making, I think it's not about raw ability. It's about decision-making and things like that. And at the end, Bledsoe's decision-making was horrible.
And by the way, Belichick's a better coach now than he was when he got here. This is something that people forget. Like, he's not the same guy he was in Cleveland. He's not the same guy he was in the first couple of years here. I think he's gotten better. I think the field's gotten worse. So, yeah, if you just want to draw that analogy, he was 5-11 with Drew Bledsoe, who's better than Brian Hoyer. I don't think Bledsoe was that much better than Brian Hoyer at that stage. And I think Bill is better. His team is better. His program's more in place. So that's why I think they're much more than a 5-11 team, even if Brian Hoyer starts all 16 games. Brian in Fall River on baseball. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to call and say I grew up with love of baseball, played it when I was a kid, and I really enjoyed baseball. It's just lately the Players Union is disgusting me. I've lost a lot of interest in how long the games can be. It seems like they treat baseball like it's all about money and not about the fans. That's all I got, guys. Thanks.
Okay, well, they treat football like it's all about money and not about the fans, and we love the thing because it's a compelling sport. So the greed aspect is, I'm sorry, independent of the problems with baseball. The problems with baseball is the game. The game itself has deteriorated. Maz, did you get a final result on your poll from yesterday? Did Murray reach his magic 60%? Did we get the
he
final
did
number
not,
there?
But he got close. The final numbers were 59% to 41% with over 13,000 respondents.
Think of that. Think of that, folks. Do you want baseball back? It's the middle of the effing apocalypse, and there's no sports, and we'll watch anything. And so we ask you, do you even want baseball back? And by a 60-40 margin. And Maz's followers on Twitter are baseball people. It's 60-40 against. That is a stunning result, Maz.
Quite a statement, isn't it? It really is.
Harry on Cape Cod, what do you got for us, Harry?
Hey, how are you? You guys talk about this virus, right, which they have no vaccine, and they have really no 100% credible testing. So I'm going to give you a scenario that's going to happen, and you tell me what you do. So the Bruins go back to playing, and they play, and they play a game. And then Bergeron, after the game, he has a little bout of the flu, but they say it's just his allergies. And he's tested, and he's fine. But he keeps playing, and he keeps playing. And they keep testing him, and they say, no, it's a bronchial infection. It's a sinus infection. He's okay. But what happens is he ends up dying, because I know. I know. Okay. It happened.
That took a turn. Right?
Yeah, no. If he ends up dying, then that's going to suck. And what? Are we all going to look and feel like jackasses? Yeah. Yes. Okay, so there. So there you go.
Yeah,
that's
right.
I mean, I think that's it. I mean,
hindsight's 2020. We'll beat each other up. There'll be a bunch of think pieces and finger wagging, and we'll all be made to feel terrible. I mean, that's life.
But but here's one thing that I do want to mention, and Murray and I think we mentioned this off the air, and that is the there's going to be no more flu games.
Yeah,
right?
We talked about it on air.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, I mean, no, but this specific scenario. So, and again, when I say flu games, folks, we're talking about Michael Jordan, you know, whether that was a hangover or whatever. He was sick in that final against Utah, and he had one of the great games in NBA history with the flu. Tom Brady in the 2004 AFC title game in Pittsburgh, running 102-degree temperature, had an epic ball game. And so you often see this, that when athletes play sick, for some reason it sort of heightens their concentration or heightened something, and they have these great games. And the flu game is over for the time being anyway, because they're going to take your temperature on the way into the stadium. And if you're running 100-degree temperature, you're out. You don't even
Yeah, that's it. It's over.
Okay, so no more flu games. Well, Maz, we didn't ask you this on the air. What if it is the AFC Championship game? And what if it's at Foxborough? And what if Tom Brady shows up with 101-degree temperature? Are they really going to send him home? And we're going to have Ryan Mallett in the AFC title game?
Well, so look, this is sort of like the concussion argument. You know, are they going to pull a guy out of the game when he has a concussion? Are they going to let him sit on the bench and hide it because they're doing what's in the best interest of the team or the business and not what's in the best interest of the player? I just think that in this particular case now, with this pandemic, we're talking about a potentially life-threatening illness and not that concussions are serious or things of the like.
So answer the question. You think they're going to send him home?
I think they're going to be forced to, yep.
Mm. No, you find a way to lie.
No, I mean, not if the level of concern is where it is right now. And in fact, I think that oftentimes you'll see the player say, I'm not going to do this to other people. I'm not, you know, it's one thing when you have a concussion point. And the only That's person you're going to hurt is yourself.
Yeah.
But now you're going to hurt teammates and you know, potentially affect families and everything else by going out there, right? I'm not telling you I have great faith in humanity, but these guys go through a lot together. I'd be surprised if they push that limit. I'm not telling you someone won't. Someone will. But I bet you the majority of people with this thing will make the right decision.
Well, so that's a scenario. You know, it's easy to say, you know, regular season game, week four against Arizona, you know, middle of November against the Buffalo Sabres, Bergeron shows up with 100-degree temperature, go home. Like that's easy, of course. You know, they're not going to – that ain't happening anymore. Now we're talking game six of the Stanley Cup Finals. The Cup's in the building. Patrice Bergeron shows up. He's running a 101 fever. The guy at the door takes his temperature. What happens right there? Are they really going to send him home?
They go to the back room. They shoot him up with a vaccine or a therapy, and he's in the game that night. That's what happens.
Well, look, if you want this done the right way, the people taking the temperature can't have any affiliation with the team.
Yeah,
it's
got to
be medical official.
Right. Yeah. Just like the guy that checked RG3's knee, you know, James Andrews there on the field with the Washington Redskins hat out on the field. And, you know, all I'm saying is, Maz, that's when the rubber meets the road. And
of course. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Are they really sending Brady home? Are they really, you know, so like Bergeron, he's 1 of 20. Maybe they do send him home. Are they going to send Pat Mahomes home? If Pat Mahomes shows up to the Super Bowl running a 101 temperature, are they going to send him home? Is he not going to play that ball? Is that really going to happen? And so that I think is a whole different story. All right, we talked about we'll watch anything these days, including the match. The match with Brady last Sunday was really a terrific watch, and now people are talking about the future of the match. We'll hit on that with your calls here on Agenda Free Friday right after these words.
Tell your fans. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Did they say it?
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tell y'all what, man. I want Tom Brady. I ain't gonna lie.
Look good in the air. really tasty.
Hey, Tom, how many shots you want? This Chuck. Come on, man. I'm going to give you some shots, man. I want
all
some
right.
of you.
Got to get going. Chuck, I've been focusing on football, bro. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl, man.
Ready to dominate.
Got it'll turn on. Don't worry. It ain't over yet. Ain't over yet.
I think you just made him mad, Chuck.
Oh, no. I love it, though, man. He can take a joke.
Oh, yeah. Get into it!
Oh, my goodness!
You made it!
Wow!
Take a second out, Chuck.
Wow.
Hey, hey, yeah. hey.
Chuck.
Hey, man.
Chuck.
I got that's
Chuck.
Awesome.
Shut your mouth, Chuck. Take a little of that medicine. Get your butt out here.
Hey.
Wow.
That's what I needed.
Sauce hey. Is it back in the hole.
Hey, way to get $100,000 for Brooks Koepka.
What a
thanks,
tasty
baby.
Morsel.
Brooks, take
wow.
Brooks, how about that? Hey, can I say a few things?
Please, you got the floor, Tom.
I haven't hit a good shot in 8 holes, so I'd like to speak for a little bit. Everyone get comfortable at home.
Yes. The
Mom
floor
and Dad,
is yours.
I love
hey,
you
the,
very much.
The floor is yours.
My wife, my kids, I love you.
I don't even know.
This has been yeah. a Peyton.
Come over and give you a little
bit. All or nothing guy.
Yeah. Hey, my wife, I love you. My kids, I love you.
Thank you. You got
thanks,
it.
Baby.
You're a great
Jack,
job, brother.
I hope you're watching. When the going get tough, the tough get going, boys.
And when Charles Barkley starts throwing some shade, TB12 responds.
Brooks owes me a little money.
Yes, he does. Brooks Koepka said... Even a par on this front nine, $100,000.
Come on, baby.
That's awesome, man.
We're not out of it yet.
Awesome.
Okay, what was that?
That explained why he's the GOAT.
Two.
Birdie four for Tom.
All right, Agenda Free Friday. The match is one of the things that we hit on for sure. You have any thoughts on the future of the match, Maz? Would you watch that again?
Absolutely. I told you, though, but it's got to be the right people for me. Like, you know... I don't have a lot of interest in, you know, people that aren't athletes. So now you want to tell me that Justin Timberlake's got some rival and, you know, maybe. But honestly, the big draw for me was Brady and Manning. That was it. And so I'm a sports guy. I'm not an entertainment guy. And I, you know, Bird, Larry Bird, I think, is a 3 handicap. And I think you put him in an event like that, the number will be higher. I'm, you know, give me Bird and Magic. Give me Bird and Jordan. Something like that. I'm in. It's Justin Timberlake, have a nice time. I'm going to go out and play myself.
What? Play.
Notice
yes,
I said play myself, right. Not with myself.
Exactly, right. That makes that different than any other day. How, Maz? What if Justin Timberlake's a competitor? What if he's a competitor? What? You know, I mean, what if he's a 10 handicap? He's imperfect, but he competes.
Because I'm not interested in Justin Timberlake. I need to, it's got to be somebody to me. And the other thing that was cool was the Brady Manning dynamic. I mean, these guys had duels on the football field. And so they were, they'd been friendly off it, which is why I think Bird and Magic is a good one, or even Bird and Jordan. Guys that competed against one another at the highest level, won championships, and yet still liked each other and, you know, respected one another and could do it. Like, to me, that's all part of the draw. I got to have something like that.
Okay, so listen. You know me. I'm not interested in the banter and the wittiness and the... Like, I don't care about that. I don't. You know, Murray, that's too fun, right? Like, I'm not in it for the fun.
Yeah.
Like, wee! You know, they talk about putting Bill Murray out there. I'm not in it to watch Bill Murray play Carl Spackler, you know,
me which either.
Was, you know, his character in Caddyshack. I'm, you know, every step's going to come down for quite... Like, I don't need it. I don't need that. I don't care about that. I'm entertained by Charles Barkley, but I don't need... I'm not watching him for his wit. Like, I don't care about that. But I would still like to see, Maz, I'd see Larry David out there. And not that I want Larry David to, you know, do the Larry David thing. I don't need a stand-up act. But I think it would be, you know, and only if Larry David cares and competes. That, to me, is what made that interesting, is that they were non-golfers who were managed by the golfers. There was a real chance of failure on every hole, on every shot, and there was strategy about,
you know, whose ball to use or the alternate shot thing. There was certainly strategy, and the you know, that whole that's what drew me to the thing. And seeing a non-pro golfer in a competitive spot like that, I'm interested in. And I am interested in Justin Timberlake. Justin Timberlake, Maz, is one hyper-talented mofo. You don't think so? You think Justin Timberlake is freaking... Murray, you tell me. Is Justin
Wait a minute. Did I say anything about the fact that I didn't think he had talent? Yeah, he's got talent. I just don't want to watch him play golf with Tiger and Mickelson.
Maz, if he's out there, you might get to see his wife. You know who that is?
No.
Jessica Biel.
Oh, come on, Maz. How do you not know that?
Well, I didn't know they were married.
So, look, I don't need Bill Murray out there to, you know, clown around for 4 hours. I don't care about that. But, you know, is Bill Murray, and I'm just making this number up, he's a good golfer. Like, call him an eight handicap. I don't know what.
Something. He's like a seven, I think.
Whatever. Okay, so he's a single digit who, you know, can contribute. He can also absolutely melt down. You wouldn't want to watch the match with Larry David and Larry David melting down? You know, if Larry David had to play that course, and I don't know, can someone Google Larry David handicap real quick for me and see what his?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. I bet it's out there. I know he golfs a crap ton. The you know, if Larry David had to play that freaking course and he melted down, you wouldn't watch that.
Said he plays to about a 20 handicap.
Oh Jesus!
Too high.
Yeah. Too high.
Oh, he's
too
a
high.
Hack.
He's out. He couldn't play. A 20 handicap is no point of playing that course.
I want athletes. I want guys who I know are competitors. I want guys, again, to me, that's sort of the fun. The other thing is, you know, look, the relationship with Tiger and Mickelson matters too. So that they got to be guys. So if there's celebrities who get along with those guys, yes. But again, Mike, all I'm telling you is I'm a sports guy.
Me too.
I'm a sports guy. I know, so I just don't have, you know, I couldn't give a rat's ass if Justin Timberlake is good and competitive or not. I'm not staying home to watch him play golf. I'm not.
Oh, so, but I think he's a chance to be a real athlete. I mean, he's in tremendous shape. He's, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think he has athletic qualities to him. And
I'm sure he does.
And look, I'm not sitting going home and listening to Justin Timberlake music. Like, it's not my... I'm not into disco or pop music. I want, you know, listen to it with my kids, but I respect the talent. The dude's a stud. And to see him on the golf course in that setting, if he can play and if he cares, yeah, he'd be fine in that. And so would Bill Murray. I'm not interested in the Carl Spackler thing. And Larry David 20 is not, that's not going to cut the mustard. But they have to be careful. Like, people did not tune in for Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods. I'm sorry, they didn't. And those are the only two golfers that are worth tuning into. Those are the only two golfers that if they're alive on a Sunday, that I'm specifically going to tune in to watch. But that's not what made that event, you know, outside of the pandemic and the fact that, you know, there's nothing else going on. What made the event was Brady and Brady sucking. If Brady was playing even par, that thing would have been a snooze. The fact that Brady melted down and you know how much he cares and you know how pissed he was that he was melting down. That's what made it compelling. And he is a good golfer. And they've got to strike that sweet spot. Someone that you either know, care about, you're interested in. See, I'm interested in Timberlake. Whether I like his music or not, that level of talent, I respect and I'm interested in. And I would take him on the golf course. I would.
Yeah, but see, again, I'm not telling you, I don't appreciate his talent or his any of that. I'm not going to stay home to watch him play golf in a celebrity charity golf event. He's not the guy I'm staying home to watch.
There's no actor or singer or anyone like that who would fall into that category for you.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I'd have to think about that. I mean, I sort of focus on the guys who I know are hardcore, elite, all-time competitors. I mean, you want to give me even Olympic athletes or, you know, world-class athletes or something and tell me that they're psychopaths that, you know, but you're going to put them with Tiger and Mickelson. I might be engaged. I just have and I'm not telling you that people outside of sports can't be competitive. They can. I'm just telling you that my perception of the athlete when it comes to the competition in an event like that is different than the perception of someone else.
What if it was a crooner, Maz? Would you know, you get Tony Bennett out there,
Frankie Valli, yeah. You know, someone like that.
What, Harry Connick, someone like that? Like, yeah, you want to introduce some women into it now? Maybe we could talk.
Catherine Zeta-Jones apparently has a 20 handicap. I know
no,
okay, she's so, high, but you put her
so,
up there
so,
for
it. So you know what? And get women. You may go ahead. Felger at 985thesportsup.com.
Here we go.
Oh boy.
I'm not going to watch a gal. I'm sorry, I'm not. And that's not to say that you're inferior. You're superior. I'm just telling you what I want to watch and what I don't want to watch. That is not a statement on anything about anything other than what I prefer to watch or not watch. And I would not be that. I don't think you could pick a woman athlete. Fine. You know what? I take it back. Can Emma Stone golf?
I don't know.
Because
she's a delight, though.
Emma Stone.
I like Emma Stone.
Is a delight. She is a delightful human being. I don't care if Emma Stone's a 32 or a 36 handicap. If I'd watch Emma Stone read her grocery list. Okay, so I was going to say, I don't know if there's a single woman you can mention that I'd want to watch. There's one. But no. No. This is men's golf. I'm sorry. I'm a horrible human being, but I want to watch men's golf.
I just like the possibilities in sport. You know, give me Jeter. Give me A-Rod. You know, give me LeBron. Give me Bird. Give me Matt. We got so many great athletes that have been great winners. Like, you know, I'll take any of those guys over freaking Justin Timberlake.
Timberlake's a winner. Sorry. He's just not in our world, but that dude's a winner. Let's pick this up on the other side, shall we? Right after Murray's update here on Agenda Free Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mez.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I like to see Phil and Tiger. I can't see Phil and Tiger over and over again. You know, Tony, you have these things already. They're called pro-ams. You have this already. You had it at Pebble Beach. Remember how years ago they would show you much more of the amateur play from Pebble Beach. You had these events. Golf has always had these things. Whether it's in the silly season or not, you bring in stars, you have some sort of off-season thing. That's fine. I don't need to see. I mean, how many people do I want to see? Romo and Steph? Okay. And then what? I mean, like most things, the sequel is not as good as the original. Now, I know Tiger and Phil, I think, they're under contract for one more, a third and final event under this contract. So, fine. Get Steph and Romo. Do I want to see this all the time? Not really. If I do, I can turn it to the Golf Channel, and they can show me pro-ams on Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever they play them.
See, this is a sincere disagreement because I really like this event. I thought it was better with two other people, and I thought it was specifically better with Manning and with Brady. Steph Curry and Tony Romo, I think, would be very, very good. Larry David and Bill Murray would be very, very good.
Yeah, you want to know gold? Played with them, Tony.
Mike Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser. That's gold to be playing in this thing.
No, so pro-am, no. I don't care what number Tom Brady posts or Justin Timberlake posts. I don't care if he shoots a 76 or an 86 or a 96. I don't care about that. Match play, hole to hole. So, you know, you're in your pocket. If you suck, you're one down, you go to the next hole. Like, that's the format for these guys. So, I know that's different. And that's Kornheiser and Wilbon. They just have to be careful. To me, maybe it comes down to this. It has to be someone that I'm compelled to watch even when they're sucking. Brady was perfect like that, right? Because he's so perfect. It's like, you suck. That was great. Like, that was compelled. That's what brought people in, Brady sucking. I mean, I'd watch Steph Curry suck. That would, you know, I'd enjoy that. If LeBron James melted down out there, like you mentioned, I would enjoy that. If Michael Jordan couldn't get out of his own way, I'd watch the crap out of that. And even, you know, so depending on Timberlake, Bill Murray, whatever, someone like that, fine. They just have to be careful to understand it's not about golf. It's not about the golfers. It's not about Mickelson and Woods. It's not, you know, Mickelson said he could even see a match in which he teamed with Woods. His quote was, "What if Tiger and I were to team up and take on two younger players? Or what if we were to team up with younger players and have it be a real high-level golf competition," Mickelson said. "I think there's a market for that. But you have to have some personality in there, too. So a guy like Justin Thomas showed just how funny he is, and he would add a lot to an event like that." Justin Thomas. Murray, who's Justin Thomas?
I have no idea.
Me neither. He was a guy that he was the on-course, whatever. He was the golfer who they put on the course the other day. But, Phil, you think Justin, you think if you put Justin Thomas out there, people are going to watch or care? Oh, my God.
Like, I had to think for a second, too. I was like, wait, the former Supreme Court Justice? But no.
No. Clarence Thomas.
Yeah.
Danny Thomas, old-time actor.
Yeah.
Right. Justin Rose, different golfer. Whatever. He's just Justin Thomas. Whatever. He's another one of these young kids with a perfect swing who I don't know from Adam. And no. Phil, don't you get it? It was the everyman nature of Brady melting down that made the thing compelling. That it was relatable to us. And so you and Tiger and Justin Thomas, whoever the hell that is not – no. Don't you get it? And so they have to be careful. It's not about the golf. It's not about that.
I told you, I want crossover guys from other sports who have competed against each other at a high level. Because to me, that same two guys, let's change the game and see what it looks like. That's what I loved about the Brady Manning thing, too. Like, if it had been Brady and, I don't know, pick someone else, Joe Flacco, would you have cared?
Yes, if Joe Flacco competed and... to me, it's not necessarily about the exact name. It's the profile. Here's Tom. I mean, he wouldn't be my first choice, but if he were a good golfer and I could relate to him on the course, yeah, I'd take it. But I go Timberlake first. Tom in Florida. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, I got a quick comment about why Tom didn't hit his driver. Because he slices the ball. Anybody who plays golf, if you have a bad slice like I do, you pull out the 3-wood when you're in trouble. And I know Matt said he wants to see him crank it out there. The harder he swings, the further it's going to slice.
No, we get it, Tom. Pussy move. I'm sorry. In an alternate shot, best ball, match play, hole to hole, you don't bring your driver just in case there's that hole where Phil stripes it 400 yards down the middle and there's nothing, you know, you're not going to use your ball.
Of course.
You don't pull out the big dog and let him play like that. What a weak-ass move by Brady, not even to put the driver in his bag.
What, and I need this guy to break down a swing for me? Yeah, he slices the ball. That's why he didn't pack the driver. Like, please, would you stop with that crap? I don't care if he cuts it, hooks it, slices it, eats it. I don't care what he does. Spare me the analysis. Just hit the damn driver.
Ronnie in the truck, go. Yeah. Ronnie!
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? Listen, I got a perfect person to be in that golf tournament. How about Johnny McEnroe? Could you imagine him? You know, slicing into the sand or something and then freaking out.
Yeah, dropping his golf bag in the pond. Would you take John McEnroe, Maz?
Hell yeah. Okay, so now we're talking. Give me, McEnroe, who would have been his biggest rival? Borg? Like, something like that. I'm in.
Oh, my God.
And then, now, because, again, there's two guys that have gone head-to-head. It went a certain way, but they competed against each other at a high level. Now let's put them out there and change the game and watch them wet themselves.
That guy hasn't been relevant in 40 years. You want to go back to the battle
like
of the network stars?
Like,
Jesus.
So, like, because I'm an old Murray, Connors, McEnroe, like, I think I might watch. They have to be good enough. They couldn't be a 20. But both of them would storm off the course on the sixth hole if they were Brady the other day.
Oh, McEnroe would be great. Please, he'd snap his putter right over his knee.
The long commercial-free segment is next. The Geisterspiel, something we've talked about the last couple of days. It's gone. The ghost games in Germany, they're piping in crowd noise now for their Fox broadcast. There's a whole nother level, though, of virtual fandom that has now hit the market. This is not a joke. We want to pick up on this right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Whee!
It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We are lucky enough to be able to watch football, even though it's behind closed doors. Well, the coin toss has been done. The elbow knock has been done. There's only one more thing to do, and that is to get this derby off and running. So referee Benjamin Quartus gets the game underway. It's the last game from match day 27. It's a derby, a Rhine derby. The river flows through both of these cities, and so does their footballing status.
Hear the crowd in there? Hear the chanting? Yeah, good atmosphere.
Loved it.
Again. Yeah, again. It was a fake. There was no one in there. It was made up.
I want to know why the announcer sounded like he was constipated and everything was really difficult to say because I've had too much bangers and mash. That's the only thing I noticed there. Jeez, boy, buddy.
Well, because it sounded normal because there was a crowd in back there, but it wasn't a real crowd. It was faked. It was piped in by Fox. And so they went the first week of their Bundesliga, that's the German soccer league, the first week of their coverage with no noise, nothing piped in, nothing artificial. And in week two, they said, screw this. And they created some ambient crowd noise behind the broadcasters. Now, again, I think they did a good job with it. It sounded authentic. It wasn't overdone. It wasn't over the top. You know, you could barely make it out. And if I didn't point it out to you, you probably wouldn't even have really noticed it. It just sounded kind of normal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is what they want. But it's not what happened. And this bothers me. These guys feel differently. They want that ambient noise. They want the fake crowd noise. It's relevant to us because if it works in the soccer, which is going first, it's going to happen when basketball comes back. It's going to happen when hockey comes back. And it sure as hell is going to happen when the NFL comes back. That's a given. And I just want it. I just want the real thing. Like, for example, and they call it Geisterspiel, ghost games in Germany with no fans there. Here's week one. Here was a goal in an empty stadium. Jimmy, just play the ghost game first goal that came without any fake crowd noise. And you could tell there was no one there because you could only hear like six guys clapping.
Well, they knew that they would have to defend today with that very potent front line that Dortmund have got. Can they keep it up for the full 90, though? Hazard's ball! Of Dortmund attacking breaks the deadlock. It can be so simple.
Six guys clapping.
Oh, I hate it.
And that's what it really was, Murray. That's what was actually happening.
Yeah, and I hate what's happening everywhere, including that.
Okay, well, fair enough. I actually want a real representation of what's going on. So when you pipe in the crowd noise, here's what it sounds like. Here's a goal to make it 4-0. 4-0 Leipzig. And if you listen long enough and just pay attention, I think they even get like a goal sieve chant going or something. Go ahead, Jimmy. Here's the deal.
Twisting and turning away from St. Just Campbell into the area. It's still Kevin Campbell, and it's Timo Werner, and it's just too easy for Leipzig. Timo Werner with his second of the afternoon. Afforded too much time and space in the area, but Campbell's run, key to setting up the goal. But Stefan Freund, how was he allowed to run all the way through on his own?
Yeah, because St. Just is the second winner all the time. He stops too early, 1-2 with Kunku, and then Campbell is behind Mainz back four now, and then it's an easy tap in for Werner. But fantastic work from Campbell before.
Timo Werner was Mainz's bête noire in the reverse fixture. 3 goals and 3 assists for him as Leipzig cruised to an 8-0 victory back then.
Hear the chanting? It's fake.
Yeah, it sounded like a real sporting event because you had the prolonged hubbub there in the background of the fans. And even though the fans aren't there and it's not real, that's what it's supposed to sound like.
It was like an air ball chant. Air ball.
No, it was like, you know, it's like Reimer.
Totally.
Reimer. You suck, you know. But except it wasn't happening. Except they made it up. Which, again, I think is gross. I think it's gross that people just can't accept the actual event that's happening. You know, it's different. And it's not as good. And so, but it is what it is. But because we just can't deal with it, we've got to fictionalize the thing. I got no use for that. I keep it real, Maz. That's, you know, I don't know if you've noticed that yet.
Yeah, so look, again, I don't mind. I'm all for the game being real, and the game is real. I just think from an entertainment standpoint, sitting on your couch, it adds to the senses. I'm all for it.
Okay, folks, when the NFL comes back or these sports come back, you want fake crowd noise? 617-779-0985. You want it real or do you want it faked? Then there's a middle ground.
Just real quick, before you get to this, though, because someone that agrees with you, if you hadn't had a chance to read it, read Shaughnessy's column on this. Having no fans in the stands won't be all bad. He may as well have just titled the article, "I Hate You People." Like, it's just it's just one thing after another. Like, no jackass yelling in the hole every time a PGA player putts from 25 feet, and on it goes.
Sounds like something I can...
Oh, you'll love it.
Burner free up. Okay, Monday. Okay, it'll give us something on Monday. We've already done today's show.
My God, I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
Thank you, Dan. Here's the middle ground. The remote cheerer. This is legit. I'm going to read straight from the story, okay? When Japan's coronavirus hit football league, meaning their soccer league, finally resumes in a few weeks' time, it will be in stadiums devoid of fans, but a new smartphone app could mean the action won't unfold in atmosphere-sapping silence. The remote cheerer, that's what they call it, remote cheerer. The remote cheerer system, developed by the Japanese firm Yamaha, allows fans following the match on TV, the radio, or online to encourage or berate players via their smartphones. Their voices reverberating around the stadium in real time via loudspeakers. So they've actually started to do this in Japan. They put loudspeakers, they sprinkle them around the stadium, and you have your smartphone, and you can either hit a button that sends a cheer or a boo or a clap or something, or I guess you can speak into it,
right,
and it pipes out the speakers in the stadium. In a recent field test, users in multiple remote locations chose from a range of on-screen options that sent their cheers, applause, chants, and boos into the 50,000-seat Shinzuka Stadium, Ikopa, via 58 speakers set up among the empty seats. Yamaha said it would improve the app, developed with help from J-League, which again is their soccer league, so that it can be adapted for use at a range of sports and other events held behind closed doors or with limited numbers of spectators. What's your thought, Maz? This sounds right up your alley.
I love it. I want to see what it sounds like. Again, I told you, my interest in this stuff is, let me see what it sounds like, and then I'll let you know. And so I'm all for trying it, but can you see that one? Yeah, Price, you suck. You suck, Price. Can you hear me? I'm yelling at you from my house, Price. You suck. The only thing is, in that story you read, correct me if I'm wrong, it also said that you can't yell anything at the officials, right? So that made me wonder whether you had to, like, you know, whether it was sort of computer-generated sound or your actual voice.
Well, we're going to play the ad. So when we come back off the top of the hour, we'll play the actual ad.
Okay, good.
And I don't know if it'll be on the simulcast or not, but you'll at least hear it you'll hear the sound of it. And in the ad, all they're doing is pressing buttons on their phone. So it says here in the story that you can speak into it and it'll come out the speaker. The ad only has a smartphone page and a guy tapping a button and it going boo or cheer or clap or whatever. And
Mike, this is what you can get from Jim Murray on Cameo.
Don't fuck up. Don't f*** up. Who's watching your swing? We're all watching your swing. Ah, in your head. Ah, you're going to shank it into the woods. Ah, you suck. It's just a gentleman.
So this tells me.
Worst of luck.
Sorry, I jumped on it.
Over my drops.
My bad. You won't be able to speak into the thing. Because it's just too much. It's just rife for too much.
Absolutely.
Well, this can only work where it's working, in Japan. It's the most polite nation on earth. Like, it's understandable that the Japanese are taking this thing and running with it. We could never do it.
Listen, I'm reading from the story. Japan is playing it safe in turning to technology to generate atmosphere. When the South Korean Professional Football League opened early this month, organizers tried to create a semblance of atmosphere by piping in music into the empty stadium. But a week later, FC Seoul's attempt to add a touch of realism by filling some of its stadium seats backfired spectacularly after viewers pointed out that the quote-unquote fans were, in fact, sex dolls. The club later apologized and was hit with a record fine by an unamused Korean league. This is just like the fake crowd noise. So let's have one more excuse. Just for all of us, like freaking brain-dead zombies, to walk around looking and tapping our phone. This is just another thing another reason for you to dink around with your effing phone. You know, let's watch a game and just press a bunch of buttons on our phone. That's great. No, no. That's why I got into sports. Definitely. No, no. Not to watch the competition, not to see one guy beat the next, not to see someone work hard or outsmart someone. No. I got into sports so I can put the game on and then bring out my phone and start futzing around with all my apps on my phone. That's why let's just have another reason to not pick our heads up from our phones and just sit there pecking at our phone.
Don't you love the possibilities, though? Like, you watch
it again. Don't.
No, it's literally the boo button on the bubble hockey. Boo! Boo!
I don't. Folks, there's no one in the building.
In your head. Ah! You're going to shank it into the woods.
Boo!
Ah, you
boo!
Suck.
Boo!
Don't f*** up.
There's no one in the fans. There's no one in the stands, folks. There's no one in the building. Can you deal with it? Can you handle it? Can you just watch the ball game? I mean, there's no one there. No matter how many times you peck at your phone or
You suck. Boo.
Or some a-hole in the audio truck presses a button. There's still nobody there. We're all going to walk around let's just scrap everything. Let's all just walk around with our heads down pecking at our phones.
In fact,
you'll hear the...
I think you should be able to start a chant. Chara, chara, chara.
You'll hear the ad coming back. There's no commercials. We'll get right to your phones as well. It is an agenda-free Friday. Again, no spots here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.